Dearest Christian friends who eagerly await the coming of Christ, both to take us to glory and our celebration of Him as our Savior, that child born in Bethlehem. It's a season of getting things ready right now, isn't it? Has the frenzy started for you yet? I think right after Thanksgiving usually is when it picks up, isn't it? Everything gets busy. Everything gets hectic. There's so many things that need to be accomplished. Maybe this year it's made things better for you. Maybe this year it's made things worse for you. Your routine is disrupted. Everything seems to be more hectic, and you have less time. But we got to get everything ready, right? It's a time of putting up the tree, decorating it with lights and ornaments, putting the lights out on the eaves of the roof. It's a time of making sure that all of the meal preparations are ready, that the gifts are bought and wrapped. So many things to do. I don't think any of us really wonder about how we will spend our time. But it's not the only thing we need to prepare for, is all of the festivities. In fact, if we really want to talk about how we should be preparing ourselves when it comes to Christmas, what kind of real holiday preparations we need to make, it's not about trees and lights. It's not about cookies and candy. It's not even about presents and wrapping. It's about something far more important, something far more vital. It's about preparing ourselves for the coming of the Christ child. It's about remembering what the angels said. They told the shepherds that today a Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord. That's really what it's all about. Getting our hearts and our minds ready for Christ to come, for Him to come in all of His glory, for us to celebrate Him as our Savior from sin. That's what it's all about. That's what it all focuses on. So what are we doing to get ready for that? I think one of the problems that we have in our culture and our communities is that we have so many things that are distracting us this time of year, pulling us away from really what is important, that we can lose sight of Christ, even in the midst of Christmas. So for these 4 weeks of the Advent season, this is what we need to think about and what we need to be getting ourselves ready for. As we get closer and closer to Christ coming, to be reminded of the true value of it all, to get ourselves ready and to make true holiday preparations. If anybody knew what it meant to do that, it would have been the one God had handpicked and chosen to be the forerunner of Christ, the one who would get the world ready. I'm talking about John the Baptist. We talked about him. We read about him here in our gospel lesson from Mark chapter 1. It makes mention of that. Here in Mark's gospel, we have to understand who he's writing to. Unlike Matthew, who wrote to the Jews, Mark was writing to the Gentiles. He was writing to a people who didn't know the promises that had been handed down for millennia. Most likely, Mark's writing to the Roman Christians. He wants to make sure that they have a full history, and so he begins in a very special way. Did you catch on to that very first verse? There's so much in it. He says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. First and foremost, this is what you need to know, he says. That what we are talking about is not the history of some man named Jesus from Nazareth, some insignificant nobody. No, this man is more than a man. He is the Son of God Himself. And now I'm going to tell you all about Him. I tell you everything that you need to know. And he starts out by saying, this is the beginning. There's another place in the Bible that starts with, in the beginning, isn't there? The very beginning of it all. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No doubt it would have brought people's minds back to Genesis, but here he says it again, the beginning of the gospel. This is the start of the good news. This is the start of the Savior's story. And it's the best news you'll ever hear. But before all of that message could be spread, before that gospel could be proclaimed, the world needed to be ready. They needed to be prepared to hear it. And God even has a hand in doing that. And so Mark here, he goes back to the prophet Isaiah. And in fact, he also quotes pretty closely to what the prophet Micah says. He proclaims Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way for you, a voice of one calling out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. God got the world ready. He prepared hearts and minds for the coming of Christ. Make everything straight and easy. He doesn't need a big hill to climb. He doesn't need obstacles to overcome. Clear out the debris. Get everything ready. And so, here comes the forerunner. The voice who called out in the wilderness, make the path straight, make the way ready. It's John the Baptist, because John continued. So John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. We need to get the world ready. We need to prepare everything for the coming of Christ to make sure hearts and minds are there and set and where they need to be. And so he sends John. You guys all know John the Baptist. You've heard about him. Pretty important guy. Like I said, God handpicked him. This is the one who would carry the message. Get ready, he's on the way. It's the same one who would say, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He told that to his disciples. The disciples who had been following him because he didn't want the fame and the prestige. He says, no, this is the guy who's important. This is the one that you need to be following. John was the one who had the message of repentance. How effective do you think his message was? Did you catch on to how effective it was? He says the people were coming to him. Here's John out in the wilderness. He's on the banks of the Jordan River, that dirty river. And the people come to him. He doesn't need to go and seek them out. He doesn't need to walk through the cities. His message was so powerful, was so different, was so effective that they came to him from all over Jerusalem, all over Judea. And what does he proclaim? Repent. Confess. Know you're forgiven. Because the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand. It's coming. The one who is going to come is going to take it all away. Prepare yourselves and be baptized, washed clean of your sin, so that when he does arrive, you are ready. Everything about John was intended to diminish himself. I mean, it talks about him, it describes him here. Is this what you would think of as the great prophet who everyone would come out to see? John was clothed in camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. Is that who you would flock to? No big designer suit? No fancy robes? He doesn't eat big feasts? Everything about him was meant to diminish himself and to exalt the coming of the Savior. To point the way to Christ who would do all of the things that needed to be so that we could have the promise of everlasting life. This is what John's purpose was. The forerunner, the preparer, prepare the way for him who would come. The one who was so much greater than he was because he preached, one more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and to untie the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is why he's greater. All I can do is baptize you with water. And that water that washes away sin, because it's not John's power that does it, it comes from God. But he says, the one who's coming, as great as you think I am, I shouldn't even be doing the servant's task of untying his sandal because it's his sandal and it's naturally on its own holy and powerful because of who it's associated with. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie his sandal, to take on that servant role, to touch his feet, because he's that much more powerful than I am. He won't baptize you with water. That's too mundane for him. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He will create faith. He will win for you salvation and life. Do you think John understood what it meant to prepare hearts and minds for the coming of Christ? He had it all in mind. He knew exactly what needed to be done. He points the way to Christ in everything he does and everything about himself. He says, look, here he is. Follow him. focus on Him. In the midst of all this frenziness, we really need to reevaluate our priorities. Because what has Christmas become? Now we realize that Christmas is the celebration of the birth of Christ. It's that date that was chosen so that we could really celebrate His birthday. That we could give glory and thanks to God because of everything He's done for us in sending a Savior. But in our culture, what has it become? It's drifted away from the celebration of the birth of the Savior, and it has become about what? About trees? About lights? About gifts? About a jolly man in a red suit? And all of it gets in the way. It distracts us. It takes us away from Christ. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to do those things, to have your holiday festivities, to bake your cookies and to give your gifts. No, please, don't take it that way. Those things can all be a help instead of a hindrance. But if they get in the way of celebrating the true reason for Christmas, the birth of the Savior, then we've missed out on so much. So in this season that is surrounded by so much franticness and commercialism, that has people running around ragged, we need to focus where we should be focused. We just got done with Black Friday. This year was really odd because it wasn't what it has been for the last several years. Because everything was opened early. They don't want the crowds, right? But can you remember back a couple years to what Black Friday usually looked like when those doors opened? And the people who would push and shove and trample. Remember hearing the horror stories of people who had been tragically injured or even killed? Why? Is $50 off that big screen television worth that? And that's what happens. Why? Because we're all getting so distracted. We're all getting so caught up in the frenziness of what really doesn't matter. And so this Advent season, what we need to do is get ourselves ready. Get ourselves ready for what's important, for what truly matters, the coming of the Savior, the birth of the Christ child, and Christ the King who will come again in all glory to take us to eternal life. Let's follow what John has to say, where he says, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near." The one who points to Christ and says, here is our focus. Here is where our attention should be, so that we can prepare hearts and minds for the coming of the Savior, and that we can be truly ready for what matters. Feel free to go about your normal routine. It's after Thanksgiving, so my family has the right to put up the tree. We can get everything situated. We can set out the lights, hang up the stockings. And we'll do it. Enjoy the time. But don't let it distract from what truly matters. Instead, let it point to what matters. To the birth of Christ, our Savior from sin, so that true holiday preparations, true preparations for His coming, can be prepared in our hearts. So that when He does come, we say, the Savior, long foretold, to wash away the sins of all people. Amen.